الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, our leader, our imam, our nabi, the seal of prophethood, our teacher, our mentor, our beloved, our habib, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who was blessed with the night journey to Al-Aqsa and the ascension to the heaven. I speak about none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Before continuing on with the next verses, I read a very nice piece in the tafsir book of my respected and most beloved Ustad, the Shaykh Mullah Abdul Rahim Sahib Damal Barakatuhum, who will also be gracing us with his presence tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. He has a very nice book. His name is Fathul Rahman Ar-Rahim Fi Tafsir Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And it's in Urdu. For those who are familiar with the Urdu language, and for those who are not familiar with the Urdu language and only familiar with the English language, Hazrat respected Ustaji also has many different books that have been published on various different surahs of the Holy Quran in English as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to benefit from our teachers, from our elders, and from our pious people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So respected Ustaji writes under the verse in Kullu Nafsin Lamma Alayha Hafiz that every single human has angels, protective angels with them, who are not only protecting them, but they are recording the deeds, good and bad, that are committed. And respected Ustaji writes a very pertinent point at this juncture, and he mentions that it is based on this, the fact that we are constantly being recorded and watched by the angels, and to a more serious and higher degree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, we should take utmost care in as we do in public, the same way we should take care in private of our modesty, And respected Ustadji then goes on to explain that around the house, it's of importance that as parents, we dress appropriately. We dress, we ensure that our satr is covered. And especially, sometimes what can happen is, we, for example, for men, we might be walking around the house in our boxer shorts. As funny as it might sound, some people are habitual of this, and our mothers, our sisters, our wives may sometimes dress slightly inappropriately too in front of the children. We should take utmost care of this, because if the children grow up in a household in this kind of environment, it has a very detrimental effect on their spiritual well-being. These are the words of respected Ustadji. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. I was just scanning it the other day and I felt like it was a very important and pertinent point. So I thought I'd go back a few verses and mention it. Secondly, again, before we move on, I'd just like to repeat one of the ahadith that I had mentioned last week. There was some discrepancy in the narration, so I'll repeat it again to ensure that the correction of any mistakes. باب الحياء في العلم وقال مجاهد لا يتعلم العلم مستحي ولا مستكبر وقالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها نعم النساء نساء الأنصار لم يمنعهن الحياء أن يتفقهن في الدين أن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت جاءت أم سليم إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن الله لا يستحي من الحق فهل على المرأة من غسل إذا احتلمت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا رأت الماء فغدت أم سلمة تعني وجهها وقالت يا رسول الله وتحتلم المرأة قال نعم تربت يمينه فبما يشبهها ولدها رواه البخاري. Having said that, we move on to the next verses. And we had just completed talking about the origins of mankind, how every human being was formed and how the fetus was formed in the womb of the mother. And before we move on with the next verses, one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought these verses is that so we can do tadabbur and we can contemplate. And here at this point, it is of importance for us to contemplate on our origins. And if we simplify it, one part of our origins is a drop of semen. Now, let's just look at semen for a second. When an individual engages in intercourse, or an individual has a nocturnal ejaculation through a wet dream, then semen tends to come out, and at this point, what has to happen? An individual has to perform a fard ghusl. The reason why? Because a person has now become unclean. And if this semen was to fall onto our clothes, then our namaz will not be accepted and our clothes will be deemed impure until this semen has been washed off. And the crux of the matter is that this semen, the hukam and the ruling of this semen is that it is impure. So the fact of the matter is that we were created from a drop of impure substance. This was where we came from. A drop of impure substance, that if a person was to find this on his clothes, he would have to clean it or his namaz will not be accepted. So the question is, how can we as individuals who originated from a drop of impure substance ever imagine thinking big of ourselves and having pride? And just as we finish this point, I bring a hadith that Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah has brought on the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala Allahu azza wa jal al kibriya'u rida'i wal 'azmatu izari faman faza'ani wahidan minhuma قَذَفْتُهُ فِي النَّارِ. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that pride is my cloak and greatness is my robe. Whoever فَمَنْ نَازَعَنِي وَاهِدًا مِّنْهُمَا, whoever tries to take one of them from me, قَذَفْتُهُ فِي النَّارِ, I will throw him into the hellfire. The fact is that pride and thinking that a person is big, this is something that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to be proud. A person who has pride within him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise that he will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being proud and create humility and humbleness within us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجِعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. Verily, who, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is capable and has the ability of bringing it back. This is an indication towards the fact that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands for our death to happen and our life on this earth to end, our bodies will begin to rot and they will be put into the ground, and more often than not they will cease to exist and it'll become the food and the diet of the creatures of the earth. This is the body that we have so much pride on today. Tomorrow our body is becoming the diet of the creatures of the earth. This is our reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now reminding us that the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from nothing and we became humans and we will end at nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that reminder, He is all capable of bringing us back to life, and this is what will happen on the dawn of Qiyamah. It is, the entire surah is a reminder to us, a reminder of where we are heading, a reminder of what is coming tomorrow. Sometimes we feel like our Qiyamah is very, very far away. Respected brothers, respected elders, our Qiyamah may be just in a few hours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to prepare for this time when we will be standing alone in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regards to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, on the day when all secrets, السرائر is the plural of sir, yani all secrets will be laid bare, and in one translation will be tested. Now, secrets, what consists of secrets? We look into the tafsir of this, and there are many, many indications and many, many things that the ulama have mentioned. One possibility is that it refers to the actions that we did not show people, the actions that we hid from people, the actions that were committed in the darkness of the night, in the privacy of our homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and protect us from committing sins. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The word tubla, it also means, like we said earlier, tested. So mufassirin have said that it's also a possibility that it's a reference to our reckoning on the day of Qiyamah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates, سَمِئْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ, I heard my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam saying, لِكُلِّ غَادِرٍ لِوَاءٌ يُنصَبُ لِقَدْرَتِهِ, رواه البخاري. On the day of Qiyamah, every perfidious person, every deceitful person, every treacherous person will have a flag from which his treachery, his perfidy will be recognized. What he's trying to say is that all the secrets, all the things that we hid in this dunya, tomorrow we think that these things have been gone. We delete our history on our mobile phones, We think it's gone. Our wives will not see it. Our parents will not see it. Our friends, our teachers will not see it. But we're not considering the angels, kiram and katibin. Or we're not considering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ever watchful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to ask for forgiveness and to protect us from committing sins in the future. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Respected Ustaji Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib Dam Rakatu mentions a series of different, many different things. It's about 4 or 5 pages that Hazrat Ustaji covers under this verse. But I will try to summarize it as best as I can. Hazrat Ustaji takes a narration from Imam Qurtubi in which is mentioned that 4 things, namaz, fasting, zakah, and the ghusl of janabah. These 4 things, many people, they are neglectful in, and they hide their neglect from their associates and from public. For example, some people say that, yeah, I pray my namaz all the time. Or they say that, yeah, I fast all the time, but what's happening in the house is they go into their homes and they go into the kitchen and then they're having a little bit of a snack halfway through the day because they're feeling hungry. Some people say that, yeah, I pay my zakat all the time, I do online bank transfer straight to the charity. But this is not happening. Likewise, the ghusl of janabah. Some people, they experience nocturnal ejaculation. And in the morning, instead of going for a bath, they just simply take some tissue, wipe it away, wet themselves a little bit and go off to work. This is the words of Hazrat Ustaji. Likewise, Imam Malik rahimahullah says, إِنَّ الْوُضُوءَ مِنَ السَّرَائِرِ. Wudu also is from the secrets. We have to be careful. We have to ensure that we are doing our wudu properly. We are doing our ghusl properly. Our namaz is being prayed correctly. We are fasting correctly. We are observing the rules of fasting. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is very, very close. Time has come for fasting, the first fasting to take place. So it's important that we observe the fast correctly. If we don't know the masail, the rulings of fasting, then we should go to the ulama. We should attend the lectures in the masjid, where no doubt the jurisprudence and the rulings of fasting will be taught. We should attend these gatherings and learn about the rules of fasting to ensure that our fast has not been compromised based on various different factors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Likewise, wudu. We have to do wudu correctly. We have to learn from the ulama, from our teachers, how to do wudu and then do the wudu properly. And sometimes, you know, some people who don't have this importance, they come to the masjid or they come to our program and then they say, yeah, I've got wudu. But, you know, they go to the toilet and then the wudu is not taking place and they pretend that they have wudu. I remember a funny story that my mom used to tell me with regards to my grandma. When they were small, she says that grandma used to wake them up for Fajr. Come on everyone, Fajr time, jaldi jaldi. It's very, very tired, you know, you're young. So they used to go to the bathroom and then they just used to put water on their face, water on their arms and run back to the musalla quickly. So then after a few days, my grandma, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her soul and send rahmah upon her grave, she said that these people are making their wudu very, very fast and praying their namaz very, very fast. So then when they got onto the musalla, she kneels down and she pokes their feet and she says, your feet are dry, you've got a stick and, you know, giving them a good hiding. What kind of wudu is this? Your feet are dry, you're not even doing wudu properly. So like this, we should ensure that wudu is done correctly. Again, take the rulings of wudu from the ulama, attend classes of fiqh, and learn how to do wudu correctly. What if it is that our wudu is not being done correctly? If our wudu is not being done correctly, then our namaz is not counted. You could pray nawafil all night long, but it won't count if your wudu is not done correctly. So it is of importance for us to go to the ulama and learn with regards to these things. Also, other things as well, like in terms of namaz, if, for example, we are in the masjid and we were to break wind, for example. Now, Sometimes what happens is we feel embarrassed to turn around in the surf and go and make wudu and join. Oh, people will look at me. People will realize that, you know. Breaking wind is a part of nature. It's a part of human nature. What is there to be embarrassed about? The same individuals, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, will not feel shy about coming into the masjid dressed inappropriately or dressed with haircuts that are makruh, that have been forbidden in the sunnah, that have been forbidden in the ahadith. They will not be shy about talking loudly in the masjid, especially now masjid. Our respected imam has mentioned countless of times that people talking in the corridors, disturbing people, they're not shy about all of these things. They're not shy to talk about business in the masjid. They're not shy to do ghibat in the masjid. Yet the same individuals are shy about going to do wudu because people will think that I've, you know, broken wind. So we're shy of people, but we are not shy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's watching us all the time. One way of avoiding this shyness, Rasulullah teaches us, narration from Abu Dawood, on the authority of Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha ahdatha ahadukum fi salatihi falyakhudh bi anfihi thumma liyansarif. Rawahu Abu Dawood. Aqa alayhi salam says that if one of you was to break your wudu in his salah, what he should do is he should grab his nose and he should turn around and walk away. Why? If you feel embarrassed of someone thinking that this person's broken wind, then you can pretend that you have a nosebleed. So when someone has a nosebleed, they cover their nose and they hold their head up and they run out. So if you're really shy about that, we have instructions directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who says to us, okay, if you feel embarrassed, hold your nose and go. Like this, we have under Sara'ir, the secrets of the day of Qiyamah, we have Amana. The time is very short now, and Amana is something, trust, that I need to talk about at length. It needs a good 10 minutes, but time is up now, and within this chapter, within this part of the tafsir, there are many, many pertinent and relevant points that need to be mentioned, very, very important points. So I'm not going to rush it, inshallah ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, gives us tawfiq, then we will reconvene on the following Friday, inshallah, and we will discuss and we will talk about the importance of amana, the importance of having good, trustworthy dealings, business dealings, dealings regarding pertaining money, and other things like that as well. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will continue with this next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing sins in public and in private. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our past sins and protect us in the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do amal and on the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the true understanding and the true love for the Holy Quran and the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilik.